Well, good morning. My name is Dennis Romay. I'm the interim pastor. I'm really not sure if I can totally describe what an interim pastor is, but I think if you look at me, you see one. It's all here, and I'm thrilled you would join us today. And those of you that are joining us via the video feed, we're glad you're joining us. We want to welcome you, and I'm just glad all of you have come out today to be a part of this service. Well, each week I'll share a little bit about myself and about my wife, and maybe I'll share a few things about you one day, too, that our first impressions of each other. Linda is my wife, retired high school Spanish teacher. We live in Weston, Wisconsin, but we're almost to the Ringo border. I mean, you're getting east of downtown long ways. So we live in Weston, not too far from St. Clair's Hospital. I retired about a year and a half ago and found out that I had a little more life I wanted to live, and my second career as a hospital chaplain. Went back to school. I was the oldest person in the class. It was a graduate level class that was somewhat accelerated, and we met, and I was the oldest member of the class, and I loved every minute of it, of course, and completed my first stage of credentials for hospital chaplaincy. The class ended 1 week, and to my total and utter amazement at God's grace and mercy, I was hired the next week as a chaplain and have been in chaplain ministry now since that time. And I am weekends at one hospital in the Weston area and weekdays in Stevens Point. So I'm very thankful to be here. I certainly have thought of this church and prayed for this church many times over the years. And as a presbyter, which is the pastor who is over an area of churches, this was one of the churches that was a part of my little flock. I was a pastor of Christian Assembly downtown Wausau for 25 years, retired a year and a half ago to start this new walk and this new ministry and the new challenges and the new blessings. So we are in a sermon series today, and we're going to be talking about blessings. How do you get to the next level? We're going to talk about how you and I get to the next level, but we're also going to talk about how River of Hope gets to the next level. Because God has something planned for this church. You can sense it, can't you, when you walk in the doors. You can feel it in your heart and your spirit. When I look around, when I came in last Sunday, and then when Alexa and Danny and whoever, if there was anyone else, I think we're still praying for a drummer. I did see one up here pre-service this morning. He's about this tall. I think, Travis, you might claim him, okay? So there is hope for the church. We have a drummer in 15 more years. And if you are in musical talented or you have that leaning toward it, what an opportunity to have someone like Alexa who would be willing to work with you. I mean, that's pretty amazing. So just a little hint there. We need you. We want you and welcome you. You can just feel it, though, when you come in the door that God is about to do something big at River of Hope Church. It feels good. It feels good to go to church here. It feels good to be a part of the body here. There's something about having worship that honors Christ and lifts Him up and gives us an opportunity to praise Him. And then I was greeted last week at the coffee bar by Ember, who offered me coffee. And I usually don't drink coffee too often before church without a large portion of certs, because I would breathe all over you, that coffee. But it smelled so good again today. And thank you, whoever was there this morning also. We also have a wonderful board that's in place in leadership. And so during this transition time, you have an interim pastor. You have a board that's active already in the church, the local church. And we thank God for John and Travis and Roland, that they're here. We also have in place a search committee. And the search committee is just that. They're already in the process of looking for your next permanent lead pastor. And in just a moment when we pray, we're going to pray for that pastor and his family. Somewhere out there, God is already speaking to the heart of a pastor who's going to come to Medford, Wisconsin and pastor this great church. And it's going to be exciting. I'm going to have you stand one more time because we're going to read the scriptures together, and we're going to talk about the seed that God has given us, the seeds He's given us to bless others. Now, this could be a sermon on money, but most of you can take a deep breath. Today it's not, but it will be coming, okay? I have a sermon series called The Blessed Life, and we're going to talk about that. But today's not about money, but it's about taking the gifts that we have as seeds of God's word to plant in people's lives. So when the seed, which is God's word, has been sown into our lives, the results will be evident. Our heart, I like this so well. Our heart always goes where we put our seed, where we put God's word. Our heart always goes where we put our seed. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, would you join me in unison out loud together as we read verse 21? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. You may be seated. When I read that scripture in Matthew chapter 6, 21, it reminds me of the story I heard about a man and his wife who were facing a crisis. The husband had been diagnosed with cancer and was dying. And one day in discussion with his wife, he brought out a little box. And he told his wife, I've been saving this for a long time. And in this box is $25,000. And when I die, I want you to put that box in my casket. And they discussed it for a while. And finally, he said, well, I want you to promise me that you will take this box with $25,000 in it and you'll put it in my casket. And she did. And later he passed and he died. At the funeral, the casket was open and his wife was there with her best friend. She told her best friend, I have a box here. It has $25,000 in it. And I promised him I would put it in his casket. She says, you're not going to put that money in the casket. That's $25,000. You'll need that money along the way. No, I made a promise, she said. And finally, they got up. And before they closed the casket, she went up and she took the box. Her best friend was right beside her. She said, you're not going to put that money in the casket, are you? Oh, yes, I promised. She placed it in the casket. She said, and her friend said, there's $25,000 in that box. She said, yes, I wrote my husband a check. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Kind of an interesting thing about life, isn't it? And it's so true. I mean, you could have been anywhere else in America this morning, or at least in Medford, or you could be here and you chose to be here. I mean, you could have thought to yourself, you know, I had an extra hour today. I think I'll go out of town. I'll go to the big city, Wausau, or maybe Minneapolis, the Mall of America. But you didn't. You came here to church. And that just speaks volumes about where your heart is. So when I look at the scriptures that we're sharing together during this time, I'm seeing something emerge here. I'm beginning to see that God is speaking into our lives about where our treasure is. That's where our heart is going to be. Where we plant seeds for God's kingdom is going to be representative of what our heart is feeling and what our heart is telling us to do. The heart is that place where God speaks. You know, I've never heard the voice of God in my ears, but I have heard the voice of God in my heart before, prompting me to do something that almost seemed a little strange or out of order to bless somebody else with what I may have had. It seems here in the scriptures that when it talks about blessings and going to the next level, then that God will put me on the spot sometimes. And God will stretch me sometimes to bless his kingdom and bless people for the glory of God. That God may be in a situation whereby I am called upon to honor God. Not all stories I tell will be about me, but this one I have to tell you because it was firsthand. And we have two boys. When our youngest one was about this tall, and he and I were at the church one day, and I was going to take him somewhere for lunch. I'd just gone by the bank, got some change. Linda was teaching school, and our son Josh and I were going to go somewhere to get lunch together. Christian Assembly is downtown Wausau. Job services on one side, Social Security on the other side, and a high-rise apartment here, and thank you, Jesus, the police department right over there. And so we would get people all the time walking across, down the sidewalk and see the big church building, and they'd want to come in. Well, one day I was there. The church was closed. It was on a Friday because we closed the church on Fridays. And I was there coming out. This gentleman came up to me and said, I need some money. And I go, oh, man, I said, I'm so sorry. The church benevolent fund is empty because we've helped so many people in the last 2 weeks. Well, I don't have any. I'm so sorry, but I hope you don't give up. I think it's going to work out. He got in. He walked down the street. I saw him leave past job services, and I didn't see him any longer. And I said, Josh, come on. We're going to go to dinner. lunch. And he said, and I, all of a sudden, God struck my heart and said, Dennis, the benevolent fund at Christian Assembly maybe didn't have any money, but you just went to the bank. You have money in your pocket. And I'm going, oh man. And I thought, that may change where we've lunched today. And God kept saying, you know what? You have money in your pocket. And I go, man, I do have money in my pocket. I said, Josh, get in the car. And we sped down Grand Avenue, not over the speed limit. We sped down Grand Avenue. And it goes, it's 35 down Grand Avenue going toward the courthouse. And there we are. And I couldn't see this man. I go, oh, I told myself in my heart, you have missed it. You have blown it. You had a chance to bless God and plant a seed in this gentleman's life. And when I got down just at the courthouse, Grand Avenue swings a little bit this way, and then the street coming up by the mall comes this way and meets. And I saw him turning the corner. I honked my horn, and I must have scared him to death. I'm yelling at him, hey, wait a minute, I want to see you. And he stopped in his tracks, and I finally got over to this little corner spot where the cash and go is. And I got out of the car, and I said, sir, you know, I did not tell you a lie. Christian Assembly's Benevolent Fund is broke. There is no money. But you know what? I have something I want to give you. And I just gave him enough money to make sure he could go get something hot to eat and get some coffee and take a break. You know what? That lesson I have never forgotten. And you know what? I have a little boy that's a grown man now, and he's never forgotten that either. I could have passed that up. I could have said, I'm not rich. I don't have enough money. There's not enough in my pocket to go out for lunch with Josh. I don't have enough money to bless this guy. But you know what? I'm so glad I obeyed him. There have been other times when I did blow it and I never wanted to do it again. You see, you've got seeds to plant wherever you go. You've got seeds to plant in this community, in your village or the city where you live. You've got seeds to plant that can grow and bring glory to God. For where your treasure is, there also is where your heart will be also. So the scriptures we've been studying together last week and this week are designed to help us understand that we've got some work to do, and God's got a lot of seeds that he's given us. It may not always be financial. It may be one day God speaks to your heart to send an anonymous note in the mail to someone you know that's hurting. It may be something you do that you visit someone, or something you do to encourage someone, and you do it because you just really feel like this is an opportunity to bless God. And it represents his kingdom, and it represents his church, which is River of Hope Church in Medford, Wisconsin. So the next slide is this slide is where we get to the next level. And we talked about this last week where we ended. Permit the word of God to govern every action of your heart. In other words, whatever God is speaking into your heart at the time, let that become the norm, or let that become the place whereby you function in relationships that God brings into your life. Let that be the focus. Now, I realize you're not all pastors, and that makes me feel better, because if you were, you'd be here, and I'd be sitting there. So I'm glad you're not all called to be pastors, but I am glad you're called to be followers of Jesus Christ. And you and I have an opportunity to plant some good seeds in this community and in our communities for the glory of God. So I'm challenging you and me to walk in this place where we begin to put into action the very things that govern our heart. That we need to be alert and looking for opportunities to bless others for the glory of God with whatever we have and whatever we can give. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, we shared last week these words: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That tells me that there are going to be opportunities for us to shine for the glory of God. We are so fortunate. At River of Hope Church, we have a children's pastor. Oh my goodness. There are a few churches in 50 miles of radius of this building that does not have a children's pastor. We have children's pastors. And we are so blessed to have their gifts. And you may have seen Pastor Josh's story on Channel 9 or on Facebook. And I'm so proud of him. And he and Lacey, what a story they shared. And they're giving their gifts today. They're not sitting in here enjoying this service. They're right out through those doors blessing our children today. They have found that place of taking the gifts that God has given them and then use them for the glory of God. So if we choose not to spread God's word and plant these gifts, and we do so sparingly, then that's what we'll reap. It's a law. It's a benefit of a law. I grew up on a farm. I know what happens. If we had not planted the seed corn, we would not have harvested more corn. And therefore, the scripture says, plant the word of God wherever you can. And the word of God is planted not alone with words, but sometimes it's planted with action. Sometimes it's seeds that are actively involved in touching the hearts of someone else. I've learned this. God prospers us not just to raise our standard of living, but also to raise up the standard of our giving. To whom much is given, much is required. We've been blessed. We have received so much from God in His kingdom and His blessings. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us to share and bless others in any way we possibly can. That God prospers us, not just to raise up our standard of living, thank God He does, but also to raise up the standard of our giving. Why was Paul teaching these truths in 2 Corinthians? You know, everything in the scriptures, if you follow it through and go a little bit broader in the text, you find out there's a story. There is a story at this time. Here's what had happened. The church in Jerusalem was going through a very difficult time. And there was great poverty, and there was persecution, and there were difficult circumstances. The Apostle Paul, who shares with us in 1 and 2 Corinthians and much of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was going around sharing the story of the church in Macedonia that was generous out of their poverty to bless the church in Jerusalem. So this story comes to us with the understanding that he was collecting whatever he could to be sent back to Jerusalem to bless the believers in Jerusalem who were going through a very, very difficult time. When I read this, then I understand why he talks about generosity, why he talks about planting seeds. He's telling us here that generous giving shifts the focus from internal, what I need, to external, what God needs, to eternal, what heaven will reveal. You see, it's in our spirits to give. Do you know, in every one of us in this room today, there's a heart to give. We want to give. Sometimes we don't know the avenue by which we can do it. We don't even know what we can give. Sometimes we don't think we have anything to give. But God can speak into our hearts about the opportunity to focus from the internal, my needs, to the external, other people's needs, ultimately to the eternal, to give glory to God. Generosity has the amazing power to unshackle us from materialism and fill our hearts with contentment. We stop being consumed with all of our problems and all of our needs, and we become generous in blessing others around us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 and 11, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply increase and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Rick Warren was the pastor and founder of Saddleback Church in California. I want to share a quote that he said recently. Rick Warren, I quote, "I would tell you from my own personal experience, I have grown more in my faith. I have grown closer to Jesus Christ. And my heart has been changed more by learning to give by faith than any other discipline in my life." I'm going to tell you a story that probably none of you in this room know, Rick Warren was invited to general counsel 4 years ago in Orlando, Florida. And he shared in a pastor's meeting, there's the general meetings at night where 15,000 to 20,000 people show up. And then there's the meetings during the day where the pastor's workshops are. He spoke in one of the meetings I attended just for pastors. And our general superintendent at that time, this is the man who's over all of the Assemblies of God throughout the United States of America, and also serves on the committee for the whole world, the Pentecostal Fellowship Churches. George Wood shared with us that Rick Warren, who pastors a Baptist church, an independent Baptist church in California, saw the results of church planting within the Assemblies of God and had generously given out of his funds to bless church plants all over the United States for the Assemblies of God. Wow. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Is he allowed to do that? Is he allowed to give money to Assemblies of God churches? I say that facetiously, but it's so true. You see, God has planted in your heart that desire to be a giver. And it springs up every now and then. And you sit at home and you may say to God, I have nothing to give. But you know what? If you have two coats in your closet, you may have one coat to give. You may say, I have nothing to give. You may have a thank you card in your box of cards where you can say thank you to someone that doesn't even know they touched your life. You see, we are givers. And this is what God is telling us in His Word, that this is the plan. And Rick Warren tells us it applied very much even so to his life and to his relationship with his God. Well, it's time for me to come to this part of the service where we begin to pull this all together. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, 13, and 14. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I kind of like that word, that term, that phrase, grace of giving. That you will excel in this grace of giving. Grace brings us into the picture in the spiritual realm of God's unmerited love and His favor for every one of us. That God doesn't turn anybody away. He loves all of us. And His grace has saved us and brought us into redemption through Jesus Christ. Paul's saying here in this verse that he wants us to excel in this grace of giving. Let's begin to think of ways in which we can bless others. Let's begin to think of ways in which we can be a witness for Jesus. I told this story for those of you who have joined us for the first time today or the first time since I've been here. I was 1 year at Father's Day. Linda and the boys had given me on layaway. They'd paid for a grill, a gas grill, and I went to get it. And the lady at the desk, it was before computers were everywhere, and now they are everywhere, included your pocket today. Before they were everywhere, this lady, I forgot the little ticket. She was totally upset. And rather than get upset back at her and show my disdain to the fact that she couldn't find my Father's Day barbecue grill, I just remained calm and quiet and smiled at her. And when I left, I said, thank you so much for helping me today get my grill. And as I walked away, a person that I'd never seen face to face before, I had never met, had never shaken her hand. When I walked away, she said, have a nice day, Pastor Romine. You say, well, Pastor Romine, it's a good thing you didn't blow it. What happens to you and I, though, the next time we're at McDonald's downtown? And for some reason, the person in the car ahead of you not only pays for the coffee and the lunch, the dog is sticking his head out the window, and the lady behind the window that you can't see is petting the dog, and the line in back of you is going up, and you're getting impatient and out of sorts, and you just want to give her a piece of your mind. What happens if she walks, when you walk up to the window or drive up, she says, hey, Tom, it's good to see you. Hey, I know your mom. What would you do? You see, we never know when we can give honor and blessing to someone else. What do you do next time you're at the drive up the window at the bank? Don't you love any bankers in the room? Raise your hand. I won't even pick on you, I promise. When you go to the bank and it seems like the line never moves and you're in a hurry to go do something, aren't you glad you didn't honk the horn, pound your fist on the steering wheel? Aren't you glad you just didn't give a dirty look to the teller? Because you never know when you're planting a seed of kindness and love and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a powerful thing. This slide is a replica of the first slide, but we've added something to it. The first slide we read this morning was, permit the word of God to govern every action of your heart. But the next part, which we're going to conclude with today, is, and conclude this sermon series, permit your actions to be generous that God might receive glory and honor. You see, my friend, it's really all about Him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. It's our opportunity to be light and salt in the world. We have this great opportunity to let others know that the love of God is in our heart. Without saying a word, sometimes we may, without even saying a word, we acknowledge that God's grace and love is there. Well, let me read a scripture to you. This one we don't have on the screen today because I just wanted to read this out of the Bible and give you time to contemplate on it. What was happening then in the New Testament church that caused Paul and the believers in Macedonia to bless the church in Jerusalem? What was causing Paul to tell the Corinthians in the church in Corinth in his second letter, we want to be a blessing and sow the seeds of greatness and kindness and goodness to others? Well, here's what had happened. Just a few years before, just a few time in that history of the birth of the church, after Jesus is resurrected from the dead and Jesus has gone to heaven, here is the story of what was happening. Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit came. It was called the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they received great power, and they gave great witness to God, and they praised God in the languages of all the people who had come to Jerusalem on that day for the Feast of Pentecost. And they heard them up in the room praising God, and they said of them, those on the street said, oh, they must be drunk. And Peter, you know Peter in the Bible, he had all he could take, and he left and went down and preached a sermon to them about these men are not drunk, they are filled with the Spirit, and preached the gospel of Jesus, and 3,000 people were converted. Wouldn't that be a story in Medford? That someone preached the gospel and 3,000 people, is there 3,000 people in Medford? The whole city, half the city, got saved and came to church because Peter preached the gospel to them. Well, here's what happened. That's important, and that's a good sermon, by the way, but there's no room for it today. Here's what happened. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Listen to this story. You're going to love this. They, those new believers, those early believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That would have been the words that Jesus had given his disciples and apostles. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the Word of God, the Old Testament, and to the fellowship. We're going to do that next Sunday in church, after church, and before church, right here and there. We're going to have tables set up to feed the multitude, and you're going to be there. The fellowship, to the breaking of bread, no doubt the Lord's Supper, but also a meal, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who was in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And what happened was during this time, when they were so filled with gratitude for the goodness of God, and they were so thankful for the opportunity to bless others, some of them even sold some property or additional property to bless them, and bless other people. But whatever was stirring in their hearts, they were so excited about Jesus and the opportunity to love and serve Jesus that they responded from their hearts with sincerity to bless God and give praise to God with all of their hearts. And it says here that they found favor with all the people. And listen to this story. I love this. And I believe this. I'm not being prophetic. I'm just speaking from my heart. I believe this is the future of River of Hope Church right here in the last verse of Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I believe that God has that plan for this church. And God has this plan for having you here and not somewhere else this morning. And it's God's plan that somehow your story, I'd love to find out your story. How did you get here? How did you find this place? How did you come to Jesus? Somehow you did. And somehow God has positioned you with an opportunity to be one of the greatest blessings that not only this church, but this community could ever experience. And the Lord added to their number. I like that. The Lord added to their number. There was no gimmicks. We didn't give away ponies one Sunday. We didn't raffle off a car in the parking lot one Sunday. They came because the Lord added them to the church, just like He added you to this church. Just like the Lord somehow got your attention. And you may have been one of those families that was raised in a denomination or church and said, I'll never set my foot in a church like that. And here you are today because the Lord brought you here. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray together. I believe there may be one more slide. I think there is. And God, this part of the scripture says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Oh, my friend, somehow you will not be able to escape the fact that somewhere this week, God's going to use you to bless somebody else. Have you ever heard of 89Q, the radio station? Does it come over this way? Hallelujah, it does. 89Q had a couple years ago had a great opportunity. And the opportunity was, if you're in line at your favorite restaurant, and you ask the clerk, can I pay for the meal of the person behind me? One of those classic things, only 89Q could think that was awesome. See, I'm not expecting you to do that at Hardee's or McDonald's or wherever. You know what I'm expecting is going to happen? I think it's inescapable. You're not going to get far away from God. This week, God's going to give you an opportunity to bless somebody. Somehow, some way. And it won't necessarily be your pocketbook, but it might be your lips to say a kind word. It might be your encouragement to help others find peace and happiness. It may be a helping hand to someone who needs a helping hand. I close with this story. I found out this morning, because Linda and I are inevitably too early wherever we go. And sure enough, we were early again. I'm trying to get the GPS to act right and tell me how to get here on time. And so I said, well, Linda, I've been here many times. Let's just look around. I found out you have a Walmart. I'm so blessed to know you have a Walmart. Several years ago, we were in Tennessee visiting my mother and dad, who retired and moved there. I never lived in Tennessee. They retired after I graduated from college and moved to Tennessee. My mother and I went to Walmart in Paris, Tennessee. And we were going through line, and it was kind of a long line. Everybody was happy and kind of a good day. And my mother put her stuff up. And this wonderful cashier began to talk to my mother. And my mother's just like they were friends for a long time. And I thought, this is really cool. My mom knows this lady and she knows my mom. And they talked about a lot of personal things. But somehow I just thought it was great. And I listened. Well, as soon as we got outside the doors of Walmart in Paris, Tennessee, I looked to my mother and I said, Mom, who was that lady? She says, you know, I've never met her before in my life. But there was something about that moment of just encouraging one another. My mom was encouraged, and that cashier was glad that my mom was buying Walmart stuff so she could have a job. It was a winning combination. It was a win-win. And there was that moment of saying, Dennis, you've lived in the North far too long. I would have never talked to that lady like my mother did in such a friendly, open concept and manner of reception, of giving and receiving. But I learned so much. You see, it's inescapable. This week, God's going to give you opportunity to bless somebody. And I have no idea. Don't meet me after church and say, what did the Lord tell you? I don't know. I have enough challenge to figure it out in my own life. I can't figure it out in your life what God's going to do this week. But God's going to give you an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody. And it's going to bring honor to Jesus. It's going to represent this church. And it's going to bless somebody else. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day you've given us to worship you. Thank you for the opportunity to come together. We're so excited about next Sunday. We're going to come back and we're going to share in breaking of bread together and sharing a meal. Thanksgiving is that time of the year where we can reflect upon your mercy and goodness and share with one another. Lord, I want to pray today your blessings on my friends today. Thank you for this wonderful family that you've given Linda and I for this season. And I'm praying that you're going to use them in ways that they've never been used before. They're going to bring honor and glory to God and to your church. We ask your blessings today in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If you look to your left or right or front of your back of you, somebody wants to shake your hand. And you are dismissed this morning as you do. God bless you. God bless you. This is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like when the church is alive. This is what it sounds like.